Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
As always,
it's going to be a great show. We got a returning guest, Doug Perry. How you doing, Doug?
I'm great. Good to see you. Talk to you guys tonight.
Good to talk to you. We're going to be talking about talking to God. You know, we all hear people about how they talk with God, and in the Word, it talks about you know, speak with the Lord, and His sheep knows His voice. We've always heard all of this, and we hear about these people. It's got this great connection with the Lord, and this show is going to really show you how to get there, how to get that result, how to open the Lord in you further instead of just going to Sunday school or going to church once a week and just hoping God hears you and hoping you hear from God, but make it more of a stronger connection with the Lord and see more results in your life with the Lord, you know, directing you, guiding you, and all type of things like that. And one thing I was wanting to really t- touch home on and some cautions is if you're hearing, you know, demonic voices telling you to do this and saying bad and awful things to you, that is not the Lord. That's most likely a demonic entity that's of depression or something like that. That is not the Lord directing you to do harmful things to people or to yourself. So I just want to make that straightforward right there. That is not the Lord talking to you. So I just want to make that straight and narrow right there. That's not the Lord talking to you. Since I said that, I'm going to go ahead with the show because a lot of people could take things the wrong way and not really understand things, and the enemy can take, you know, advantage of this stuff and really go with it and take you the wrong way. And I just want to make that straight and narrow right there. That things like that is not of the Lord. It's from the enemy. But, you know, there's a lot of us people that hears from the Lord, and, you know, he really shows his love towards us. And go ahead, Doug. Give us some of your experiences, man.
Well, I got inspired by your opening music, and I want to say something about that real quick. That I feel like the Lord put on my heart. For all the people that were listening to the beginning of the show, the song talking about this is my desire, this is my desire to bring you glory, to be used by you. I was at a conference one time, some big name speakers, and I was just kind of there to watch and mill around and meet people. And I met this young man, and I said, so what's God telling you? He says, God has promised me 1 million souls in Africa. I said, really? When was that? He said, 10 years ago. I said, so have you been to Africa? And he says, no, I'm waiting for the glory of God to fall on me and so I can go in power. I said, you know what, brother? I'm pretty sure God gave it to somebody else by now.
Reinhard Bonnke.
It's one thing to have a desire, but there's a lot of people that will not go in the strength that they have and trust God. They want some super-duper whiz-bang. They want some anointing. They want to hear God a lot better. They want to whatever. And then they'll go when they feel like they're going to be more successful and they're better equipped. And God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. And I'm not sure who this word is for, but I'm telling you, it's been your desire to serve him, and God has told you to go. Don't wait around. You've already waited too long. You need to go, and you need to go do it, and you need to believe that when you get onto the field that he placed you, he will give you the strength that you need to do the job that he has for you. You can't just sit around in the United States expecting some big gift of healing when he didn't tell you that was going to happen in the United States. He told you that was going to happen in Africa. Or there's story after story of foreign missionaries, Amy Carmichael and this and that and whatever, that we study the greats of missionary history that went into an island no Christian had ever been, and people are getting raised from the dead. But they go back to Europe to raise money, and none of that stuff happens. And part of it is because you're not where he told you to be. You know, you're going to experience the power of God when you're in the place that he planted you and told you, the mission field that he set you in. So I just want to encourage the people that are praying with all their heart, that were singing along to that song, Lord, use me. Lord, it's my desire to serve you. It's my desire to bring you glory. And my recommendation is to go. And don't wait around for some more money to accumulate. Don't wait around for some anointing or some recommendation from men, or just go and go do it and believe that God will give you what you need to get it done. And in my experience, I always hear him the best when I'm out there on the cutting edge, out on the very limits of my ability to provide, on, you know, in a van, not knowing where I'm going or how I'm going to get there or when the gas is going to run out. That's when you're going to hear him the best. And be closest to him because you need him the most. And anyway, so I would always rather see people go in faith, trusting that God would believe, that God would meet all their needs and that they could believe on God for everything, than some Southern Baptist Convention mission board paying them, you know, covering all their expenses to get them where they got to go.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Anyway, a little about me. I run a ministry in Liberty, Missouri, outside of Kansas City, called Fellowship of the Martyrs. We've been about 10 years feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, taking in homeless folks. We got a food pantry and houses where we just bring people into our own homes and care for them. We've got something like 4 million views now on YouTube, on our channel, FOTM1, on YouTube. And have experienced a lot of persecution and from the city, from zoning, from the government, from all kinds of folks that don't like us bringing crusty, scary-looking people into the neighborhood. But we persevere anyway. Recently, we bought a farm, and so that's been a lot of my focus lately. It's actually about 70 acres with a 20-acre cave, a limestone mine underneath it, and we're getting it through the process right now, rezoning so that we can build a village of tiny houses and kind of an eco-village and sustainable farming and be able to produce a lot more stuff for our food pantry and then teach people in other places how to live off the grid and sustainable ways and produce their own food and be less dependent on the government that I don't think is going to be there for you when things get bad anyway. Anyway, so that's kind of where we are this week. This week, I'm getting ready for another conference. We have a few times a year. We have a weekend. We just invite people to come in and get deliverance and prayer, and stay with us at the houses. And so this, a lot of the folks that watch our videos are out of church Christians that don't that have seen through some of the paganism and other stuff that's infiltrated Christianity. And they're not particularly Christmas-type folks. We don't have a tree or don't leave Santa Claus cookies or anything. Around here, it's just another day. But so it seemed like a good weekend to invite people in because they're off work anyway. And this year, it's over a weekend. And so we're getting ready right now. We had a family just show up today a little bit early, but we'll have some people coming in for the weekend just to fellowship and get some deliverance and pray with us. And we have people come from all over the world right now. We got a kid here from England and a kid here from Germany, just coming to learn how to hear God better. And I feel like the best gift I can give somebody is to help connect them to God so that they can hear his voice. And then they don't have to pay a pastor to tell them what God wants for them, because God can direct all of their paths like it's supposed to work, and the pastor can do the things that a pastor is supposed to do, and teach and lead and take care of the distribution of food to the orphans and everything else, and the widows. So one of the things, I did a recent video on our YouTube channel about, I have lots and lots of videos about hearing God, and have written several books about hearing God better. One is called Dialogues with God, where the Lord just kind of had me write down some of the conversations I've had with him. In that case, it was mostly when I was driving around the country, living out of a van, not knowing where the money was going to come from and totally dependent on God back in 2006, 2007. And we talk some about in that book about how to get unclogged and what might be clogging you up. And one of the biggest things that can clog up your hearing and keep you from hearing God is a belief that God doesn't talk to people. That's got to go. That's just not biblical, no matter how much your denomination might have said it, no matter how many pastors might have talked to you and believed it, it's a lie. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, and they pretty much tell you that God doesn't talk anymore, but the pastor will still tell you that God called him to be a pastor. And I ask him, how did God call you if God doesn't talk anymore? Because Bob should go to seminary, ain't in the Bible.
Come on.
And, you know, I know that my mom and dad felt a call to be missionaries to Mexico. And it might not have been a voice, but it was absolutely communication from God. And sometimes he'll speak through circumstances or through the Bible or through other things. But he is alive and well, and he does talk to people. The bad guys talk to their headquarters. There's no reason why we shouldn't talk to our headquarters.
Amen.
So one of the first things you've got to lay down is the belief that God doesn't talk to people. the other thing that can clog somebody up is the belief that God does talk to people, but really just the holy ones. He doesn't talk to me because I'm not worthy. In my experience, God does talk to everybody, even atheists. There's a lot of people that I've known that come to Christ, start hearing God, and then realize this is the voice that told me not to go to that party when I was 18, and I ignored it, and I got gang raped. Or this is the voice that told me not to get in the car with those guys, and they got busted, and they all went to jail. You know, and they start to realize this voice has been watching out for me my whole life, even before I came to Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's the absolute truth. He loves everybody, and he's trying to keep you out of trouble. And when you learn how to get on the right channel and hear his voice, you'll realize you've probably been hearing it a long time. You just thought it was you.
Mm-hmm.
one way... And I absolutely, I'm real big on testing the spirits. The Bible makes it clear that we're to take every thought captive and bring it into obedience with Christ. That we're to test the spirits. 1 John 4:2, verse 1 and 2 says that not every spirit comes from God and that no spirit of Antichrist can acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. So one way to test the spirit is to, you get a thought in your head and you ask the thought, do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? And anything less than an absolute affirmative yes doesn't count. Silence, if they sometimes you'll hear no. That'll freak an atheist out when they use the 1 John 4:2 test and a voice answers and they know it's not them. But anything other than a straight up yes doesn't count and should be ignored. One of the ways that you can test the spirits and know who you're talking to is what I call the 20 questions game. The Bible says that only God knows the hearts and minds of men. Satan is real sneaky. Demons invented psychology and sociology and a whole bunch of stuff. So they know, and they got big files on you, and they can pretty well guess how you're thinking. So a lot of times, it's like a chess game. You can study that person and maybe know what their first move is going to be, maybe their first two or three moves. But once the game gets going, you really can't know more than two or three moves ahead. And so what happens is if I hear a voice in my head that sounds like me, usually, that says, hey, you need to call so and so. They're having a bad day, and give them some encouragement. So in my head, I say, okay. I assume that any nice thing is automatically the Lord because it says that no good thing dwells in me, and I know that if Doug was left to his own devices without God, he would just watch TV and drink beer and scratch himself. So any good thought for sacrifice or love or whatever, I figure pretty well has to be Jesus because I know the monster that's in me, and it's me. So right away, if I hear a voice say, hey, give them a call and give them some encouragement, I assume it's the Lord. And in my head, I say, okay, Lord, do you want me to do that now or later? And I wait. And somehow or another, he'll say later. I'm like, okay, today or tomorrow? Tomorrow. Okay, before noon or afternoon? 2 o'clock. Okay, do you want me to call them on their home phone or their cell phone? And I just try to whittle it down in a fairly random kind of a way that I know the demons aren't going to be able to keep up with. And as long as I keep hearing answers and it keeps getting more specific, then I know that it's him. And I think it's entirely reasonable to obey the Lord specifically, not generally. If you went to work on your construction site and the boss came to you and said, I want you to dig a ditch and it needs to be done by 5 o'clock or you're fired, and he walks away, you would panic. You're like, where? Where do you want it? How big do you want it? How deep do you want it? you know, I need more information than that. If my job is on the line, you can't just say dig a ditch and walk off. You know, I need specifics. So it's the same with the Lord. If the Lord says give money to that person over there, I'm going to, okay, more than 50 or less than 50? More. Okay, less than 100? Yeah. Okay, more than 60? Yeah. Less, more than 70? No. Okay, 65. And I really do this. I mean, I'm not kidding. And then I go to the person and give them $67.13, and they start crying because that's the exact amount to the penny of their electric bill that they didn't know how they were going to pay. You know, if I gave him $50, that'd be real sweet. If I gave him $100, hey, praise God, he meets my needs. But when you give them to the penny the exact amount that they're praying about, that's undeniably God, and he gets the glory instead of you just being a nice guy. And I want to encourage people that if they will get their own mind out of the way and ask the Lord and really seek specifics and wait on him and just assume that if the boss doesn't give me more specifics about where to build this building or where to put this ditch, then I'm not going to just go digging stuff up. I'm going to wait until he tells me. It's his job to give me good information. And you put the burden on the Lord and don't listen to the voices that say, well, that probably wasn't God, or you probably aren't worthy to hear him, or, you know, those guys on the radio show, they're holy and they're ordained and they got a piece of paper on the wall. So, yeah, of course they hear God, but I can't hear God. That's all nonsense.
That's right.
He says we have to come to him like little children, and little children don't wonder whether their mom and dad are going to talk to him or not. And little kids don't launch off of their own power trying to build an airplane or build a building or dig a ditch without instructions. You know, they know to listen when they're in over their head. So one of the things, the most recent video I did, I really encourage people to not try to hear the voice of God if you're sure that you're just going to disobey him anyway. It may be the mercy of God that you're not hearing him and that he's talking real quiet or he's talking in real subtle ways. Because if he thunders off of Sinai and you shake in your boots and then you determine we don't want to hear him like that anymore because we won't be able to ignore it, in Exodus, they actually told Moses, go tell him, go see what he wants, but don't have him talk to us like that anymore. We'll die. Well, why wouldn't Moses die? I mean, isn't that kind of a suicide mission? If you're sure you're going to die, to send Moses up there to talk to him? But they knew they could ignore a man. They can't ignore the voice from the mountain. And so Moses goes up there, and instead of just the Big Ten, he comes down with 600 more laws. And because if they're not going to listen to the voice of God on the fly, then they're just going to have more law and more law and more law. Galatians 5 says, the man that's led by the Spirit is not under law. Why? Because he's directing you moment by moment about what to do and not to do. And, you know, whether to move the markers on your neighbor's land or take responsibility when your bull kills somebody, that's all in the Big Ten. If you had the Big Ten and the voice of God directing you, he'd tell you, don't do that, or don't touch this, or don't eat that, or whatever. But if you refuse to hear him, you're just going to have more law. And you're probably going to have some man telling you what to do because you're not listening to the voice of God. Personalize it to your situation. So, but in a lot of cases, there's a lot of people that aren't hearing God, and it's because God's not talking to them because he knows they won't obey anyway. And it's mercy for him not to talk to you because then you're not going to be held responsible for what you don't know. You'll be held responsible for what you read in the Bible and what you heard the pastor say last week, but it's far better to ignore that guy than to ignore God. And you really need to check your heart and be sure that you want to hear God and that when you hear God, you're going to do whatever he says, because once he tells you, and you say, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you say, and you write him a blank check, you ought not to take that back. And if you do, there's going to be consequences. I've seen a lot of people wreck their ministry, wreck their family, wreck a whole lot of stuff when God said, will you surrender this? And they said, no, Lord, you can't have that. And that was pretty much, that was the end of it until they figured out what they'd done and repented. So one thing is, I don't know. His sheep are supposed to be hearing his voice, and I think they are to some degree or another. I met a gentleman that was here at the ministry for a while. He couldn't say that he'd ever heard a voice in his head or outside his head or anything like that. But he was always in the right place at the right time saying the right thing. And it was more like just wind in his sails kind of pushing him. And he'd become a really good sailboat for the Lord that just let the Lord have the rudder and went wherever the Lord blew him. And he really wanted what I had and wanted to hear the way I hear. And the Lord had me, you know, I was trying to explain to him. And the Lord said, leave him alone. He's doing fine. He hears fine. Don't try to make him like you. I can personalize this for every one of the sheep. You know, he's okay the way he is. Leave him alone. And I really tried to encourage him to be grateful for the way the Lord was directing him, because it was much more childlike than with me. I kind of have a discussion with him and sometimes kind of like, you know, really, are you sure? And he's like, what do you mean? Am I sure? I'm God, you know? That's an actual quote.
That's a grown-up view.
And but this guy, he really had a very childlike faith, and he just, in a very gentle way, the Holy Spirit could just move him. And if, you know, I'd look up. Sometimes I'd be sitting in the living room, and I looked up, and there's 10 people all of a sudden sitting in the living room. I'm like, what's going on? We're having a prayer meeting. Okay. And they're like, yeah, we just felt to walk over here. And okay. And when you've got a group of people that hear God, it can be like that. I took 8 or 10 of our folks one time to this Baptist church. The pastor was a friend of my dad's, older guy. And we had talked some. And he knew about what we do and what kind of we're about and stuff. And during the sermon, he was doing invitations before the, announcements before the sermon, talking about how we needed people to sign up to mow the lawn. It'd be great if God would just tell people to go mow the lawn and it would just get mowed all the time, but it doesn't really work that way. And he looked right at me and stopped. And I smiled at him. And he knew in his heart that he was dead wrong and that it really does work that way. It just doesn't work that way at his church.
There you go.
And on the way out the door, I shook his hand and I said, you know,
yeah, I think we just lost Doug right there. But, yes, it's awesome how God really uses people. And it's really awesome. I'm sure Doug will come back on. He lost the signal or something right there. But it's awesome how God uses people to that drastic measure. And God, I really feel that God touches each and every person, how they are, how they work, how they listen to him. I'm like, he was talking about that guy with childlike faith. You know, if he talked to all of us the same way, you know, a lot of us wouldn't comprehend in our own particular way. You know, a lot of us will see things like how to deal with people. Like you said, like that guy with childlike faith, he would just kind of like guide him to that area or put a feeling in him, hey, you need to talk to this person or put it amongst your heart, talk to you through your heart. And you have this knowing of what to do without hearing a voice. There is specific people, kind of like Doug. He hears his voice, and he's built a big ministry on what God has led him to do. He jumped out. Well, long story short, Doug was he actually worked in a college. He has all type of degrees, Doug does. But he the Lord started working on him when he was in his furniture store. He worked in the college for a while, helped watch over dorms and stuff, but then he started a furniture store, and God started really talking to him and started having him to give up different things and to change his business, to get rid of people that wasn't really, you know, helping his business, to dedicate everything to the Lord, to seeing the Lord grow his business and stuff, and all of a sudden the Lord just wanted to work for him completely and just took him out of furniture, and he had to sell everything he had to depend on the Lord. And this guy did this for years. He has did this for years. And it's kind of amazing how he's used this guy. And I know even me and Robert, you know, God guides us all in our own way. I'll say with me, it's more of a knowing. I hear God in my heart. I have heard God's voice one time out in the open. He called me son, which he does. He calls all his kids sons and daughters. And I heard his voice out in the open one time. And that's when I start a little Bible study with my children. He's like, well done, son. I heard that out real loud one time. And it kind of surprised me. It wasn't like I was expecting. It was like all of a sudden, my least expected, I heard it out loud. And then all of a sudden, it just went like that. From then on, he guided me with inside of me. And it would be like a word that I would hear in myself, in my inner being, and I would just know. I'd have a knowing. Because when you're one with Christ, you have, his knowing is with you. You have a knowing. And that's how I get led, and I get visions and stuff that's given to me. And, you know, I'm more visualistic with things, and that's how I deal with things sometimes. And I'll see, like, I could say, like, calendars and stuff, and God will show me different things, when to have events, when to talk, when to do things. I mean, he has all different tools that the Holy Spirit has, and the Holy Spirit guides me a lot with a lot of things. But, you know, Doug was really talking specifics of what to do. Really test whoever's talking to you. If you're listening to a voice, really test that voice. You know, ask the person, you know, or ask that being, do you believe that Jesus came to this earth in flesh? You know Jesus is the Lord, and see what that being says, or that spirit says, and if he automatically, he won't speak to that, he won't agree with that, ignore it until it to leave you in Jesus' name, because that's not of the Lord. That is not of the Lord. But, you know, the Word of God, a lot of times with me, myself, God will lead me to the Word of God, and I'll pick up the Word of God, and He'll start giving me scriptures, and I'll go to that scripture, and all of a sudden, bang, right there it is. And you're like, man, I'm dealing with this. He'll use scriptures to guide you. And he used a lot of that on me, too. You know, he took me into scriptures and talked to me. But God has many different ways. How does he deal with you, Robert?
Well, you know, I recently gave a testimony about one early morning when I went to work. I believe it was on a Saturday morning. How that Holy Spirit spoke to me as soon as I walked into the shipping department, before I could get my bag set down, Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to buy someone's breakfast. There just so happened to be a person already working in the assembly department when I walked in the door at 5 a.m. So I did what Doug was just talking about, what you were talking about. I questioned that. The spirit. I questioned the voice. I said, "Who's here?" And I said, "If whoever is here, you know, I don't usually go and ask people what they want for breakfast. They always come to me." So I looked through the curtains and saw who it was, and I said, "Well, what does he want for breakfast?" And the voice, I know is Holy Spirit, said to me, "He wants a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit." So I went over to Andy, and I said, "Hey, Andy, Lord told me to come and buy your breakfast. What would you like for breakfast?" And he said, "Bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit." So the Holy Spirit spoke to me before I even knew who was there working, before I knew what they wanted. He told me to buy this person's breakfast. He told me what they wanted. And when I went and confirmed it with the person, I said, Andy, look at the testimony that we have. The Lord is looking out for you. He's trying to speak to you. He's trying to let you know that he's concerned and cares about you. So you have a testimony to tell others about your God and how he loves you and cares for you. And at the same time, it just confirms in my heart that I am listening to the voice of my Father's Spirit. And, you know, I have so many times lie in my bed and had dreams about the things, about things going on, about situations and circumstances taking place. I've had dreams where the Holy Spirit would reveal to me something that was getting ready to take place and how to deal with it. Holy Spirit
would
speak to me and say, this is what I want you to do. Or he'd show me a scene and a scenario and let me deal with it according to the word of God that has been planted in my heart. And then tell me that's what you need to. So many times I've lay in my bed at night and I woke out of my sleep hearing the voice of the Lord say to me, get up, go write this. And I would get up out of my bed, go into the den, dining room, and open up my journal, and I begin to write what the Holy Spirit has said to me and revealed to me to write, to preach, to write, to share with someone about something they're about to go through. But he's speaking to us constantly. He's always trying to get our attention and let us know about things that are taking place. Just like it says in the book of John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit, he's reproving the world. He's speaking to sinners. Reproving the world is speaking to sinners.
Right.
And Jesus said, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, then you can't be saved. There's no salvation for someone who blasphemes the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is who woos you to salvation. He's the one drawing you in. And if you're saying there isn't, then you are just pushing away your opportunity to be saved. So that's what Jesus said. He's reproving the world. He's constantly speaking to the world to let the world know that you need Jesus, that you need to be saved, and that he's the way, the truth, the life, and this is the only way to accomplish salvation. So he's constantly speaking to us. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Amen. Doug. Go ahead, finish your list off there.
A friend of mine a few years ago was telling me he rides his motorcycle everywhere, even when there's snow on the ground. He's just a leather with Kevlar inserts kind of serious motorcycle rider. Loves the Lord. And he was telling me one time that he had a dream, and he was on his motorcycle driving through town and on the street, and all of a sudden a brown four-door sedan pulls out in front of him. There's no time for him to lay the bike down, so he stands up on the seat and jumps over the car and does a roll and slides down the road. Well, if you've ever ridden a motorcycle, you know that the last thing you want to be is airborne. That's anybody's instinct would be to lay down the bike and slide rather than jump over something not knowing what you're going to hit, going 40 miles an hour. Anyway, so he thought about it a lot. A lot of times in dreams, the car or the vehicle you're in is kind of a symbol of your ministry, or different people interpret it different ways. He couldn't figure out what the Lord was telling him, if he was going to T-bone his ministry or he was off track somewhere or what. But the next night he had the same dream, and he stood up on the seat of the motorcycle and jumped over the car. And he kind of talked to different people. What's the Lord trying to tell me? Well, for 2 weeks in a row, he had the same dream every night. And at the end of the 2 weeks, he doesn't know what to think about it, but he's out driving his motorcycle through town, and all of a sudden a brown sedan pulls out in front of him, and before he can think about it, he stands on the seat and jumps over the car. And tucks and rolls and slides down. The car's T-boned. The motorcycle's trashed. He's going 40 or so miles an hour and hit it right in the B-pillar. I mean, right between the windows. And the police come, and he's laying on the street praising the Lord with a bruised shoulder and a scuffed-up helmet and 60 feet away from the accident. And they're like, what are you doing down here? He said, I jumped over the car. And nobody would do that. But that was the Lord preparing him, equipping him so that the muscle memory and everything was there without having time to hear God say, okay, in the count of three, I want you to do this. I would have argued with the Lord. I'd have said, that's crazy. I can't do that. I'm not going to, that's, you know. But the Lord had trained him so that when the time came, without even a thought, he knew exactly what to do. A lot of people get trained in their dreams, and they either get trained by the demons to give in to the demons, or they get trained by God to resist the demons.
Amen.
And I really encourage people. Somebody will tell me, you know, first thing in the morning, every morning, I read Ephesians 6, and I put on the armor of God and my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness, whatever. And I'm like, what are you kidding? Why did you take it off at night? I had mine welded on. Why am I going to go to bed at night without my armor on? That's when I'm the most vulnerable. You know, I'm going to absolutely make sure that that I'm shielded up and armored up and weaponed up in the middle of the night when the demons want to mess with me and either send lusty dreams or despairing, suicidal, whatever, who knows what kind of stuff they're going to use to attack people with. And we need to, at those moments, walk in the full power of God and take control of that dream and say, no, I'm not, that's not my wife, I'm not going there, I'm not doing that, and crush them just like
Amen.
We would if we were wide awake. And there's
Amen.
A certain amount of conditioning, that of training, I think, that has to happen. But I had a dream a couple months ago, and it was like a scene in one of the Star Wars movies where there's a whole coliseum of little winged demons, and I'm out in the middle of it, and they're going to bring out this big monster to eat me, and everybody's there to watch and clap while I get devoured by this big crab thing. And so I'm standing in the middle of this dirt floor of this big coliseum, and this huge three-story, four-story tall crab thing with big sharp legs comes out. And I'm not the least bit scared. When it gets closer to me, I shoot up in the air a couple hundred feet and blast this thing with the fire of God so violently that it's just utterly obliterated. The ground is on fire. The rocks are on fire. And everything in the Colosseum is holding its breath and can't believe how violent it was. And I wake myself up for how scary and how surprisingly just instantly violent the assault was on that bad guy. And I'm like, right on, go Jesus. And, you know, I think in a lot of ways, real warfare is happening, but also it's the Lord training our spirit to be fearless and to, teaching us lessons about how strong he is and how big he is and how much we need to be calm in whatever situation comes. We're walking into the worst time the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have the kind of boldness to face down whatever. I had a dream, three or four months ago maybe. I'm in the desert somewhere, and there's this little ruins of an old town, kind of like Old Town Jerusalem, and my wife and I are walking through this desert, coming around the corners, the little alleyways of this old town. There's no roofs, it's just the walls of a collapsed old town. Oh, really? You still there? Oh, just
yeah, we're here.
Okay, good. It cut me off before, just the phone just flipped out. Okay, so I come around the corner, there's this little old gas station, and I'm somewhere in an Arabic country, and there's a little old man, a little old woman, and like their 20-year-old jihadi crazy son. And I go in the gas station, and I don't remember the name. I wrote it down at the time. but it was like Tariq somebody. And I walk in and I say, I need you to show me to this guy, to get me to see this guy. And they're like, how do you even know that name? We can't take you to him. And I'm like, I'm a man of God. You need to show me to Tariq Aziz. And the young man puts an AK-47 in my chest. And I say, pull the trigger. And he looks at me funny, and I yell at him, pull the trigger. And he pulls the trigger, and it just goes click. I say, do it again. It goes click. So I snatch it out of his hand, point it at the ceiling, pull the trigger 3 times, bang, bang, bang. Hand it back to him and say, now pull the trigger. And I think I might have called him names. And he puts it back in my chest, pulls the trigger, and it goes click, click, click. And I'm like, now, I said, I'm a man of God, you need to show me to this guy. And they're like, okay, okay, okay. And that was the end of the dream. And I don't know what the point of the dream was, except to teach me the kind of boldness to believe, to have that kind of faith, should that kind of thing ever come up in the future.
Amen.
And I haven't yet been to the point where I've had a gun to my chest, but we've taken in some guys. I've waded into knife fights and put the guys, the drunks, to bed. I've had one guy we took in was in a supermax prison at 14 for killing a cop, and was later sprung out and stayed with us for a while. And one time I was walking through Walmart with him, and I said something that I didn't think was particularly offensive, but it was the kind of thing that would have got you shanked in prison. And he didn't say anything, but we went back home, and he said to the guys, Doug disrespected me in Walmart, and I was going to pounce on him right there and kill him in Walmart, and a big angel bear hugged me and slapped a hand over my mouth, and I couldn't even say a word. Don't mess with Doug. He's got protection.
Amen.
So I know that God's with us, that God's watching out for me, that he watches out for all of us. There are several questions. There are prayers that you can pray that you can be sure God will answer. One of them is, Lord, teach me patience. You better count the cost before you pray, Lord, teach me patience, because you'll be waiting in line forever at Walmart. But one of the other ones that I have found the Lord really likes to answer is, Lord, show me a time that I would have died if you hadn't saved my life. And practically everyone, when they pray that, when they ask the Lord that, will start getting pictures in their head or a remembrance, a reminder of a time when they really should have died. And some of them will probably be a surprise. Like, you thought you were okay doing a wheelie at 100 miles an hour on your motorcycle, but he stopped that turtle at the edge of the road, you know? and you didn't even know how close a call that really was. There are some in my life where I know the Lord grabbed a hold of the steering wheel and jerked it to one side when the guy in front of me stopped dead in his tracks, and I could not have responded that quickly. But if you're not sure you're hearing God, if you're not sure God's talking to you or whatever, one good one is, Lord, show me something to repent for that I should confess that stands in the way between me and you. And you'll pretty much immediately hear him somehow tell you you need to forgive that guy that pulled your pants down in fourth grade on the soccer field, or you need to lay down the unforgiveness toward your mother or something. And the other one is, Lord, show me a time I would have died if you hadn't intervened. And man, I think the Lord really, I don't think it's showing off when, you're it's perfectly right for you to, to take credit for it. But I think he does want people to know how much he's really involved in micromanaging their life and keeping them out of trouble sometimes, even when they have it coming. We are, none of us are walking in what we really deserve. God is moderating. I don't care how bad a person you are, you deserve worse than you're getting. And God is still trying to show you mercy and trying to work things to your good and bring you to His, to your knees in front of His throne. And that's because of love. One of the other things that really can clog a person up and keep them from hearing God is what I call the dad filter. And I wrote a book. It's on our website. If you go to fellowshipofthemartyrs.com, and then under books, under ebooks, all 8 of the books that I've written are there free to download. You can buy a paperback on Amazon if you don't want to spend $25 on an ink cartridge to print it off. But the PDFs are all there. You can read them online. There's audiobooks of some of them. But the dad filter is kind of a lens that we look at God through that's shaped like Earth Dad. And a lot of people don't realize they've done it, but if dad died when you were 2, was in jail, was a jerk, molested you, or whatever, never said that he loved you, was never happy with you, you always wanted to please him, and no matter what you did, it wasn't good enough. Whether you realize it or not, when you pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," it's flavored like Earth Dad. And a lot of people have a real problem receiving from God or believing that God's out for their good because they never experienced a dad that was like that. Satan really wants to destroy fathers because it stunts people's growth in Christ a lot. And they can't really respond to God in a healthy way if they don't think that he's really there and that he's really on their side and really available and loving. And some of them are, well, he's got an important job, but he's busy all the time, and he expects me to do my own thing and not ask him questions. Okay, well, that's not really who God is.
No.
Well, you know, he loves the other kids more than he loves me. Okay, well, God's not really like that either. there's all kinds of flavors of how people can relate to God and it really be messed up. One sister called me. She had read my dad filter book and said, "You know, I don't have a problem with Father God. I talk to him all the time. I hear him. He directs all my paths, but I never talk to Jesus. I don't listen to him. I don't talk to him. I don't think about him. I don't even like reading the Bible passages about Jesus." And she said, "I read the dad filter book and realized I don't have a dad filter. I have a brother filter because my brother molested me for years. But dad and I are fine." So it's interesting how Satan will get us to sort of compartmentalize our feelings about men or brothers or fathers or whatever and then apply it to God to keep us from really getting close to him. So I'd encourage folks, one reason you may not be getting the healing that you pray for or the deliverance you're praying for is because you think God doesn't really love you like that, or he's not really there for you, or he's too busy running the universe to bother with your little problems. And most likely that's your faith that's the problem because of a warped view of who God is based on what you learned about dads. And I'd encourage you to go to the website and read the Dad Filter book. It's just a short little thing. It's, I don't know, 50 pages or something. You could read it in a couple hours. And there's some prayers in there that would really help to apologize for saying that God is like that jerk. Even if you had a really good dad, I had a really good dad. He was great. He came to all my events. He was always there. He told his secretary, "If my boys call, put them through. I don't care if I'm in a board meeting. It doesn't matter. They come first." But I knew I was smarter than him. And the first case study in the Dad Filter book is my dad filter, where I would hear God and say, "You know, that's a great idea, Lord, but I think it'd be better if we did this." And I would tweak it, and it would go bad, and I had a brother that loved me enough to get up in my face and rebuke me and said, "I'm sick and tired of you tweaking the stuff God tells us to do and it going bad and people getting hurt." I said, "I don't do that." He said, "I've heard you over and over say you think you're smarter than Earth Dad, and I think you think you're smarter than God. No, I don't. He said, would you just shut up and ask God if you got a dad filter and you think you're smarter than him? Lord, do I think I'm smarter than you? Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. What kind of antichrist is that? That's so despicable. What kind of, how did that get in there, Lord? And I'm like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm an ant. I'm a bug. I'm a grasshopper. I'm sorry I've ever done that to you. Please forgive me. And then I could start hearing him better, and I could obey what he was saying without kind of trying to tweak it to a way that satisfied me or made more sense to me or fit my carnal mind or whatever. And that's when my walk really accelerated, when I realized I've been modifying what he's telling me to fit what I want or the way I think it ought to work. And the little book goes through just a lot of different case studies, including people in the Bible who, like Samson, who had no fear of the Lord because his dad was scared to death of raising him and had no idea how to do it. And so didn't put his foot down. And so he never had any real wrath of God, fear of the Lord stuff. And you got to have the balance, the mercy and the severity of God. A lot of my messages are real heavy on how bad things are and how we need to fix it and how things need to be broken. We need to repent. And a sister came to me and said, what about the love of God? Why are you so heavy on the wrath of God? And I said, Lord, am I over-preaching the wrath of God? He says, you can't over-preach the wrath of God. He says you can't over-preach the love of God either, but there's plenty of people doing that and hardly anybody preaching the wrath of God. There's God loves you all over the place, from IHOP to Bethel to Rick Joyner to who knows. There's everywhere. You can't hardly even go in churches and give a word from the Lord that's not encouraging without getting thrown out. He does spank his children, and they do have it coming, and they do need it, and somebody's got to do that job too. And I appreciate you, Stan, and your willingness to say the hard things when the Lord puts it on your heart to say it. It's not Amen. All fluffy and roses and whatever. There's a lot of stuff wrong right now, and the church is going to have to get on her knees and say she's sorry for faction and division and envy and denominationalism and prosperity and the whole thing, the greed and the lust and the ugliness of the American church that, isn't what he asked for, yeah. isn't what he wanted, and is the kind of stuff that got Sodom and Gomorrah in trouble for the their wealth and their lack of care for the poor and the idleness of their people. As far as there's lots of good resources out there on hearing God. I did a blog talk radio show with Glenda Lomax a couple of years ago that was about 2 or 3 hours long on all kinds of ways to test the spirits. One of the things I've heard some people talk about, but not very many. I really believe that in Revelation 2 and 3, when he gives the messages to the churches, he says to the overcomers, you will receive this. You'll receive a white stone or a new name or be dressed in white or whatever. And everybody always told me those were some kind of heavenly reward after the fact, after we die or whatever. And there may well be some flavor of that after the fact, but some of those have application right now. For example, it says in Revelation that Jesus has a name that only he and the Father know. And that one of the promises to the overcomers is that he'll give you a new name. And I experienced that one time when he called me by a name. And I'm like, Lord, this is Doug. And he's like, yeah, but I'm going to call you this once in a while. I'm like, okay. And he said, I don't want you to tell anybody. It's just between you and me. But if I tell you to do something hard and you don't hear me call you this, it's not me. Okay. And I'm like, okay. So it's like a launch a launch command on a nuclear submarine. You know, you, the captain opens the little safe and the little red card has the launch command, and they verify it with headquarters, and that way you know for sure you're supposed to launch the missile. And there's some stuff. The Lord says, hey, you know, wear the red shirt instead of the blue shirt. No big deal. Okay, the Lord says, marry this girl. Yeah, okay, I'm going to need – I want to see the big red card with the launch command on some things. You know, that's I need to be real sure before I write a check for my last dime to this homeless guy or whatever he tells me to do. And I've lost track of how many times he says, give every bit of money in your pocket to this person. But I always try and check and make sure it's him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I've learned is that a lot of times I wouldn't recommend somebody do it right this minute while we're talking about it, because the enemy kind of knows what we're talking about too. But sometime when you're in worship mode and ask the Lord for a new name. And then consider that a secret name between you and the Lord. Don't tell your wife or your husband or boyfriend or anybody. Just keep it between you and him. And, you know, when he calls you that, it's just like a pet name a dad would have for a kid. You know that that's, you know, my grandma is the only one authorized to call me Dougie. I just know that's going to be her if I hear somebody saying Dougie, typically. And that is one of the promises to his sheep and to the overcomers. I don't know exactly who's an overcomer and what they had to overcome and how they qualify or not, but I still think it's a good bet to go ahead and ask the Lord if he'll give you a new name. Sometimes it'll be a Bible name like Gideon or Samson or whatever, because he's trying to describe something about who you do or what you are or what you're supposed to be in the kingdom. And a warrior like Michael or, you know, whatever. If he calls you little Jonah, that's probably a bad thing. I knew a guy, major guy in ministry, a name people would probably recognize. And the Lord sent me to him. And he didn't understand why for 10 years, every night he had a dream. He was on a boat and an angel that would only call him little Jonah. And we prayed and got to the bottom of a particular incident of disobedience in his life, and had been off track, not hearing God, headed the wrong way for 10 years while he trains thousands of people all over the world and whatever. And we prayed and he confessed it and totally didn't even see that he'd done it, you know, but God had been warning him for years. If I call you Jonah, you're probably headed the wrong way. You know, that's not a good thing. But so it may be a pet name like Scooter or Tiger or Boogerhead or something, or it may be a Bible name or something. But sometimes it's an affectionate thing between a dad and a kid, and sometimes it's more mission related. But I would just treasure that in your heart and keep that between you and the Lord, and know that you know, if he calls you that, that's pretty serious. And if it's something that the devil's never heard and it's just between you and the Lord, that's a reliable way to test the spirits and know that what you're hearing is from God. Stan, what's a time when you heard God and you absolutely positively knew it was the Lord?
Well, one of the biggest times that I heard the Lord is when he would be directing me and doing different things. It would be more like I would actually have a knowing of what's going on and a feeling of peace coming over me. And it's just like a knowing of a knowing that I knew. It wasn't sitting there thinking. I just knew. It's like you knew his voice. You knew it was him talking to you. And that's one of the biggest things that I've never been a person that really liked to hear things out in the open. As I said on the show earlier, I said that I heard his voice out in the open one time, and he called me son. And I never heard that before. It was like,
right.
He's like, son, thank you for what you're doing. And I was starting a small Bible study with my children. And he said, son, well done. Like that. I was like, where'd that come from? I was looking behind the walls and trying to see where it came from.
Yeah.
And it was pretty awesome, but yeah.
Yeah, hearing the voice of God audibly outside your head is pretty rare. I don't know anybody that walks in that kind of stuff all the time, and I'm not sure that even Moses heard that way all the time. It's one thing to be in the tent of meeting or on Sinai, but that's pretty rare. I've heard him two or three times like that. I remember a few years ago, I was staying at a hotel, and I'd left my cell phone on the TV across the room, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, my phone, the alarm goes off, and I get up. I don't remember setting the alarm, and I get up and I go over to the TV to turn it off, and as soon as I get to the TV, it's off. And there's no record of it being set. There's no alarm set. There's no missed call. There's no nothing. I'm like, what's the deal, Lord? He says, time to get up. And later on, somebody asked me if I'd ever heard the audible voice of God. And at that time, I said, you know, I don't think I have. And he said, oh, yeah, you did. And I'm like, when? That morning I woke you up. And I'm like, what, you're making phone sounds? That counts? You know, you know. But that was outside my head, and it was God, and that counts. Even though he was making telephone sounds. Even with Jesus, the only time we hear in the Bible is when he gets baptized of something outside his head that everybody else could hear, when he said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So you're entirely biblical, Stan, and you're at least hearing the same thing Jesus heard outside your head. So
it was more like a deeper voice that I heard. Like a,
yeah,
follow it, it's a deeper voice. And it was unique, man.
Like, yeah, like Darth Vader?
Not like that. It was like a it was a deep voice, but it was unique. But kind of surprised me when I heard it, and you can tell it was a real loving voice. And it's just from then on, I mean, the Lord's talked to me in my heart. I'm more of a vision person. I'm visionary, so I see visions when I see things like pictures and things like that. I'm more like that. But out loud, I've always been kind of scared of hearing things out loud because I wouldn't know what it would be, and I have to test it and stuff. But that's just me there. But yeah, man, that's awesome. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say that one of the times that happened for me that stood out the most was almost 3.5 years ago, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, cancel your insurance. So when the insurance renewal came up in November, this is 3 years ago, well, 3 years ago, I went into the break room and I told them I'm canceling everything. And they looked at me like I was stupid. And I said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to trust him for everything, so I don't need insurance anymore. And I canceled my insurance. And right after I did that, he said, now don't take any more medicine. I said, okay. And I just, I know that it's him speaking to me. And I knew it was him speaking to me, telling me to do these things. Right after I did it, Holy Spirit said, if you want to have the testimony that I desire for you to have, to be able to lead people and teach people and show and prove to people where your trust is, do this in obedience to me. And I did it, and I haven't been sick in going on 4 years. I haven't taken a pill for anything in going on 4 years, and I just claim my divine healing every day of my life, not limiting God but trusting God for everything. So he's constantly speaking to us and trying to lead us down that path that produces the narrow road experience. And it's just up to you and I to be sensitive enough to know my sheep know my voice. You know, it's just up to you and I to be sensitive enough to know the voice of our Father speaking by his Spirit, and it's coming from within us, you know. And that's
Amen.
What happened to me. That's that one thing that stands out for me.
Yeah, I 10 years ago when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was sleeping with a air machine to keep me breathing, and I'd gone and done a sleep study, and they said I stopped breathing 600 times in the night, and my blood oxygen dropped to 70% at times at night. And for a couple of years, maybe 3 years, I've been sleeping with this machine and really gotten to the point where I was afraid if the power went out or something at night, I would die. And it became a real addiction and fear. And after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing the Lord said is, I want you to take a baseball bat to that machine and just beat it into little pieces. He said, I put the breath of life in you, and I'll keep it in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been 10 years without that. And like you said, not an aspirin. He said, I'm never to drink alcohol, get a tattoo, shoot a gun again, smoke, or raise my fist in anger at anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those are a real loss for me. I think I went out with my dad shooting squirrels a couple times as a kid, and I never really drank, and I never really smoked, and maybe a couple times in college at a pool hall with the guys or something, but it was never a big loss for me. But I'm clear that if I'm out in the woods hungry and cold and whatever, a deer is going to have to commit suicide in front of me. I've got to utterly depend on the Lord to take care of me, have ravens bring me food or something, because I'm not going to be able to go get it with my hands. When he told me to walk away from my business, we were the number 4 fastest growing company in Kansas City, or .com, you know, 220 something thousand dollars a month at the peak, and 13 or 14 Christian employees. And the Lord said, you know, walk away, let him throw the whole thing in the dumpster, trust me. And I did, and I told the pastor, you know, what about this where God tells the rich man to sell all he has and give it to the poor? He says, oh, Jesus didn't really mean that. That was just for that one guy. That's not for everybody. I said, I don't know if it's for everybody, but I think he told me that.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I think you're crazy, but okay, whatever. Anyway, I think we do have to surrender all. I think we do have to expect that he's going to take care of us. You know, the only drug in the last 10 years, I had a wisdom tooth that had got sort of infected and needed to be pulled. And I went down to the dentist, and she said, oh, yeah, it's no big deal, $100. I can pull it out. And I wasn't sure if the Lord was going to let me get any Novocaine or anything, because he hadn't let me have so much as an aspirin in 10 years. In fact, if I have a cold, I can't drink orange juice when I have a cold to fight the cold off, because I'm looking for vitamin C to be my healer. You know, any other time orange juice is fine, but not if I'm looking for it to fix me. I've got to look to him for everything. And so I'm sitting in the chair praying about whether or not I should get a shot or just have her yank it. And she says, you know, I got these ladies with Christian Science that don't believe in shots and stuff, and I'll do it without the anesthetic if that's what you want. And mm-hmm. I'm praying about it, and the Lord says, yeah, go ahead, get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the shot, and she pulls the tooth out, no big deal. And afterwards, I'm like, Lord, how come in 10 years you wouldn't let me have an aspirin, and then you tell me to go ahead and get the shot? He says, because if you hadn't had the shot, you would have bragged about how tough you are to not have the shot. And I'm like, oh, I would. I totally would have. I'm sorry, Lord. So instead of giving him the glory for getting me through, I'd have probably bragged about how tough I am. And he knew it. So I don't try to get religious about it. If God tells you to go to the doctor, then go to the doctor. But you know, for me and for a lot of other of us that have to learn to absolutely, utterly depend on him, he's drawn some lines in the sand to teach us. Now, there have been times running a homeless shelter, I've had to pin somebody up against a wall while they were drunk and get them to behave, or pull a couple guys apart or something. And one time I launched a guy down the hallway, But I did it with love, and I didn't raise a fist in anger. And I asked the Lord ahead of time. He said, yeah, just body check him right there. That'll get his attention. But, you know, it's from me. So,
yeah.
I know that he's trying to raise up a people that will trust him utterly and will listen to him completely and obey exactly. I think obedience to the Lord means when he says jump, you jump when he tells you, how high he tells you, and you stay in the air until he says to come down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of obedience we ought to have to the creator of the universe. Not when we'll get around to it or when we're older and we've retired, then we'll serve the Lord, or when we've got enough money in the bank or whatever. You know, I think you got to go when he says go, and believe that he'll provide everything you need. And I'm walking, talking example of how faithful he is. You know, month after month after month here, I couldn't do what we do without him doing it through me, because it's just been a wild ride. But anyway, I want to make sure we have time to pray for whoever's listening, and
yeah,
I don't know what else.
That's cool, man. Really, we're actually out. We've been out of time. What people's gonna listen to here would be on the archive. They can come back and listen to all this and listen to the full show. But the show that was live,
yeah,
is actually, it's being cut off right now. So this is all being,
right,
recorded for the archives. So anyway, we can just go ahead and you know, ask the Lord just to bring to memory of people that we need to pray for, anybody that we feel that needs prayer at this time. And
sure,
Father, I ask you come towards us now and just reveal people that need to be prayed for. Any hurts, anybody that's sick. Always get cancer, but Father, we lift up anybody out here that has cancer, just put your hand on your body if you can. That's just symboling that you have faith in this, and faith really activates a lot of things. Just put your hand on your chest, wherever that is. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that spirit of cancer. I bind it, rebuke it. I command it to come out of this person now in Jesus' name. I command all the flesh that this thing is destroyed, I command it to be fully made whole now in Jesus' name. Spirit of cancer, I rebuke you and bind you, command you to go to the abyss now in Jesus' name. I command you to leave now. I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. I command you to leave these people now. Anybody else got anything?
Lately, my heart has just really been breaking for the folks that just don't believe they're worthy to hear God, that if whatever they've learned, that nobody said that they loved them, nobody encouraged them, nobody has told them that they're worthy or that they're valuable, and that they just live in a dark world of loneliness and frustration and despair, and it ought not to be like that. It shouldn't be like that. I want to encourage those folks to believe what it means to be a joint heir with Jesus, that you have access to everything he has access to, that you can come to the throne of God and be heard just like Jesus would, that you can ask the Father to pull you up on his lap and kiss your boo-boos, and that he will, and that he's faithful to do that. And I just rebuke whatever spirit of despair and loneliness and fear, whatever critical spirit, whatever lie that came in that said you were some kind of a stepchild, some kind of illegitimate heir, some kind of, you know, robber that snuck in the wrong way into the house. If you are in the book of life, you are a joint heir with Jesus, you are on equal footing with everybody else, and if Stan or I or Robert or whoever's hearing God, well, you ought to be hearing God too. And you have a right to ask the Lord to do that to you and expect that he will.
Hallelujah. You get anything, Robert?
You know, I just on topic of what we've been talking about tonight, I think that's the heart's cry of our Father, that there's so many people who are struggling with just having that intimacy that He desires to have with us. They're struggling with knowing and comprehending how easy, how simple it really is. And that if you would just quiet yourselves so that the Holy Spirit can speak to you, and you'll know that it's Him. You'll know. My whole life has been transformed because I committed to hear His voice. I cried out and said, I want to know You the way Jesus knew You. I want to have that type of relationship with You. Cry out of your heart to know the Father that way, and I guarantee you that He'll begin to show you things and reveal things to you by His Spirit through His Word that will draw you into that deep, intimate relationship, as it is written in John 17:3. Jesus said, eternal life is to know the Father and to know the Son whom He sent. That revelation of Christ will become what compels and drives you. So I just want to lift up our listeners tonight to hunger and thirst for that intimate relationship. And Holy Spirit will begin to speak, and you'll begin to hear Him. You'll begin to notice the voice of the Lord, and it'll be clear, and it will cause you from your inside to just be compelled and driven to follow the voice of our Creator. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm picking up somebody who has a migraine. I've been picking this up. In Jesus' name, I command this migraine to leave this person. I command it to leave their mind, leave their head. Spirit of migraine, I bind and rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. Spirit of unworthiness, I bind and rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you to leave now and go to the abyss now. Go. I command you to break off these people now. Depression, leave. I bind and rebuke you. Spirit of depression, leave now in Jesus' name. I command peace upon their mind, peace upon their body now in Jesus' name. And at this time, anybody that hasn't, you know, really given themselves to the Lord, I ask you just to say this prayer with us as we pray with you. And we like to get you into the family. That's what this show is all about, is to build the kingdom of the Lord. And just go ahead and say this prayer with us. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
I believe that you rose on the third day for me.
I believe that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept you in my heart for now and for eternity.
I accept you into my heart from now until eternity.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the
Welcome
family.
Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family, everybody. Praise Welcome Lord. To the family.
New brothers and sisters.
Amen. Doug, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for all the things you taught us today. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. It's always a blessing to talk to you.
Thank you, Doug.
Amen.
You bet. We'll see you guys.
Is there any website that you can that people can reach you? And
sure. Yeah, if you go to Fellowship of the Martyrs, MARTYRS, fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. All the books are there. You can read all the books online. There's videos there. If you're on YouTube, you go to FOTM1, the Fellowship of the Martyrs 1, and we've got about 1,200 teaching videos there. plus audio books and other stuff. So lots of stuff there. If people want to donate, there's links on Fellowship of the Martyrs page about how to do that and get involved in what we're doing, or come see us here in Kansas City or whatever we can do to help.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Doug. It's, like I said, it's been a pleasure for you being on the show. And we'll see you all Saturday morning at 9:30. God bless you all. We'll see you then. Good night.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.